Are you ready to ignite your brand, your business, and your life? Welcome to the Firestarter Podcast. I'm your host, Willa Kammerer, and this is a space for bold conversations on building your high-caliber personal brand, scaling your online business, and leading with purpose. Here we dive into the strategies, systems, and stories behind today's most magnetic entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and creators, alongside world-class experts in sales and marketing, performance, mindset, and leadership. Together, we'll dive deep into what it takes to build a premium personal brand that not only stands out, but is good business. From camera confidence to software systems and brand authority to life alignment, each episode is designed to spark clarity and fuel your next level. As a single mompreneur and movement maker, my mission is to help you not just build a brand and business, but to craft a life and legacy on fire. I asked you before and I'll ask you again, are you ready to ignite your brand, your business, and your life? If so, tune in and let's dive in. Welcome to the Firestarter Podcast. I'm Willa Kammerer. Today, we're talking about how to scale your business with aligned execution. And aligned is one of my favorite words, so I'm so happy to be having this conversation with Alenka Cullinan. So Alenka, welcome to the show. I can't wait to dive in. So happy to
have you
here.
Thank you for having me. Aligned is my favorite word too, so we were meant to be.
And we're clearly very aligned here. Yes. Because I saw your shoes when we walked in, and so it's we're very on brand. It's going to be a great 100%. Conversation.
Yes, absolutely. I love pink and absolutely love the name of your podcast, so I'm excited to dive in.
Awesome. Awesome. So share a little bit more about your story, as you know, because I think one doesn't go from zero to kind of specializing in scaling. So I'm sure there are a few steps in between. So I'd love to, you know, hear a little bit more about that backstory.
Yeah. And honestly, for me, it's kind of very unusual story because I kind of did go from zero to scaling. So my mom, I grew up with her and I was born in Eastern Europe. So my mom is Russian, Polish, my dad's Polish, Ukrainian, quite the combo and in today's world. But the interesting part was my mom built a company and she started with 87 employees and actually retired with 317. And I grew up at that factory. It was the second largest manufacturing factory. And I saw her scale the company, build the back end. She's always said, you know, operations are so important. Systems are so important because, you know, as women, we love our aesthetics. We love pretty things. And so many times, you know, that's kind of founders, what they focus on. We like all the stuff that's forward facing and client facing and maybe don't care as much about operations. And I think that, you know, saved me a lot of fear because she pretty much made sure that my brother and I were unemployable. So both of us ran our own businesses. And right after college, I kind of went into that operational consulting first with my ex-husband. We built a couple of businesses together and then my first company. Then I sold the IP to that. And now, you know, running the iStart First, being, you know, essentially that person behind so many brands where I come in and get to see the scale and operations in the back end.
I think you're so right to point that out because I think it is impossible to get to that next level of scale without really diving into the operations. But I think that so many entrepreneurs don't bake that in at the level that's needed for that next level of scale because getting very loving the ideas, loving the creative process, generating new things, the branding, the ideas, right? But that is, and kind of building things organically. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the mistakes or what are some of the kind of like growth pains that you see, you know, entrepreneurs making as they are trying to step into that next level?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, I call it the hero trap because we start our business and we carry everything, right? We are that person. We have what I call the WAT, whatever it takes. It's not the founder, it's WAT. And we are, you know, every decision runs for us, every hire runs for us, every client, which is obviously super needed at the beginning. But as the podcast, as we grow, right? And as we grow in that operational system, the system has to align, right? Your favorite word, it has to align with that growth. And what I see founders do often is they get stuck in that sort of like we wild wested at the beginning, and then we never implement the steps to actually create systematic growth, which is how you separate yourself from that doer to the actual CEO. And operations have to be, you know, clearly defined. So that's probably one thing. And then obviously giving up that control. I mean, it's a tough one, especially because we all scared. We all believe that we do everything best. So giving that up to someone else is probably, you know, what I see is the toughest thing. Even when they say they trust these people, they don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. How do you begin to unpack when someone has built in that
organic Wild West way, but those systems are getting tapped out. Clearly, there's more systemization and operations that need to be built around what has been built so far. And I think people can reach quite a degree of traction with that Wild West approach, but then get capped being able to step into the next level of growth, growing the team, expanding client base, et cetera. How do you begin to create some order in operations when they're in that place? Asking for a friend.
Well, I love that you brought it up, because honestly, it's not the systems that usually tap out. It's the person who taps out first, right? I usually see the founders who, and honestly, I love that you brought up the fact that you can grow in that way for a while. Like, you know, I meet seven-figure founders who are still kind of in that wild mess mode. They may, you know, threw a couple team members together and now everybody's kind of winning it, but you can go quite far until you can't, right? Because there's only so much in business that you can work until it works you to burn out. And so what I see most of the time is the founders that tap out, and they're at that level of burnout. They're like, revenue's growing, team is growing, but my decisions, I'm drowning. You know, everything still runs through me. I can't breathe. I feel like I'm, you know, the very freedom that I built this for is now become the cage. And so what I usually do is we see kind of what are the easiest things, kind of like the lowest hanging fruit, just like with everything else, that we can pull away from them, right? Because I understand it's everyone's baby. And even though I don't agree with this statement at all, but I do want to, I always come in with a level of grace, because one, I've been there, I've lived that, right? I always said I'll never build a business that's what's dependent on me, until I did. And then my second business is where I actually put the systems first. And so I'm very graceful about the way I obviously sit down with people, find their level of comfort. And I always tell them, the beautiful thing is you're always in control. You can always take back something that you're not comfortable with. So I pull away the lowest hanging fruit that drives the most, the needle, moves the needle the most. So it's usually their revenue, right? The revenue system, the sales system, because they are the ones that are bloodstream of any company. And then we start building other things, like, you know, having your team decisions, creating, you know, fulfillment, kind of all this other pieces that come together. But I would say it's, you know, again, you have to have grace for founders, because I know what it takes to actually separate yourself.
Yeah, I think what you pointed out, or what you described there, is just the, as the company grows, as the team grows, as the client base grows, just the sheer number of decisions that come across one's plate at, and if there's not a system and some kind of pre-filtering happening, then it just is, it's just too many decisions for one person. And just in our own journey at Firestarter, it's something that we've been working on. I'm actually very well supported on the client side, so I'm really not in the trenches serving our clients, have a lot of support with the team. But I realized, and it was especially highlighted, I've been in a season of a lot of travel. And so it really, that really helped highlight for me the things that moved forward in the business when I was just a normal day going to my office, and then the things that felt like they didn't move forward in the way that they needed to, that I wanted them to move forward, while I was less focused, while I was being here, having conversations like this, you know, on planes, et cetera. And I realized that it was the things that I still held on to, again, very comfortable with building a lot of support around me, but I realized that it was the things that were really going to drive the business forward, like the initiatives, the growth initiatives, the planning of the webinars, the podcast coordination, like all of these different things that ultimately will help grow the business are the things that I was holding the tightest to. So that's been this, you know, been a process of building more supports around myself to be able to step into, have more space to then be able to create more space for myself as a leader.
For sure. Yeah. And honestly, I love that you brought that up. I always say what I see with leaders most of the time, it's not even the system. Like a lot of times they'll say, you know, I'm out of time. And in reality, when you start talking to them specifically about building operations in the back end, what you realize is they're simply out of capacity. Mm-hmm. And it's that capacity to make decisions, right? Because even if you have 5 team, 10 team members, 50 team members, but all their decisions run through you, you haven't created, you know, it's not the balance you're lacking. You're basically lacking capacity to outsource the decisions. And I love the fact that you are building that in Firestarter, obviously, because that allows you that space to walk away.
Exactly. And it's not for lack of team members, but it's for the lack of, you know, and the process if this happens, what happens then? And right. what are the decisions that I, as a leader, absolutely need to be involved in? What are the things that we can turn into SOPs? You know, obviously we do a lot of things that are branded, design. I'm very picky about how things are laid out on landing pages, et cetera. But I give the same feedback over and over again. Right. So what can we document yes. and, you know, get that as just a process that's run through before right. it gets to the person who can review it before me so yes. that ultimately I can be spending my time on those higher level decisions versus absolutely. The, you know, day-to-day, mm-hmm. day-to-day decisions.
Yeah. No, and I couldn't said it better because it's true. You see it so much where, you know, even if it's some, because to me, it's like, it has to be repeatable enough, right? So where people can duplicate that. And a lot of times it's so hard for the founders because we think, oh, I'll just jot a few notes. So I'll, you know, give them a couple of emails. And because of it, they are supposed to kind of learn the way I'm thinking. But yeah. I always tell, you know, when I work with founders or teams, I say, nobody thinks like you. Okay. And most certainly nobody thinks like the founder. So we have to also remember that part. And that's where I think repeatable steps of a process, like you said, the SOPs, the funnels, all the pieces that can come together are so useful. And if you can't, you know, I joke with founders all the time. I'm like, go use your own SOPs. If you can't operate yeah. best on that, your team probably is not at fault here.
Yeah. Yeah. In a process of refining. Like yes. nothing is fixed. So of how course. Can we kind of continually improve mm-hmm. this process so it does get kind of closer and closer to yeah. being able to like think like you.
Right, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. yeah, no, most certainly. And also like a sport, especially now, right? I'm watching this interesting balance and I'm sure you've come across that by now. There's so much AI, right? And it has incredible capabilities. It has opportunity to shorten time span and success rate and pathways to so many things. But again, I see so many founders bringing it in on top of chaos. Mm-hmm. And I always say AI just amplifies chaos. So you have to have operations and systems and processes in place to speed them up. It can't be the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so many things in business can yes. amplify chaos, you know, whether it's like running ads is another exactly. area that oh, it's like, you know, if there's a leaking hole in the bucket, it's only going to amplify, which is why at Firestarter, we really work with our clients. We focus really on building that strong foundation so that when traffic is increased and amplified, right. whether it's through organic social, absolutely. Something going viral, ads, whatever, yes. there is that strong foundation.
Yeah.
And then.
People love shortcuts.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. Yeah. I would be curious. Obviously, AI is a hot topic right now. And mm-hmm. even just in recent weeks, so much about, you know, people just really building out whole business operations with AI mm-hmm. agents and replacing team members. I love your perspective on how to incorporate, like, where are people best positioned mm-hmm. to stay in the business yeah. and how can we leverage AI
yeah.
while building operations that work?
Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of separating decisions and processes, right? You can never have AI make decisions. It will never come in and oversee, like you said, the small pieces, the details. It can absolutely speed up processes. It can create automations in places where a human takes hours and it can replicate something in 10 minutes. So my suggestion is always you have to have really strong processes. And if those processes work, then you can put AI on top of it, right? And then you have to have people who are overseeing the decisions because, again, you know, it's interesting to me because so many people are talking, AI is going to replace my job. And I'm like, well, AI is only good in its output as the person using it is in its input, right? So for me, again, when I look at the systems and the back end operations, I always see, okay, where do we have processes that are duplicatable, that can be replicated, that can be shortened? It's the opportunity, right? The opportunity gaps inside of your own company now, but do you have people who are overseeing these decisions and these processes? And again, like I have AI employees right now, we've built them out. They do some of my backend processes. They do, replicatable tasks. They obviously do a lot of research and data and all these things. But then in addition to that, I have people who are responsible for these processes. I still have people who oversee these decisions because I mean, it's a machine. It has gaps. It makes mistakes. I've seen it happen to a couple of my clients where, you know, was preset to set out emails. I've done some pretty tricky things. So I'm sure you've probably seen and heard that too.
Yeah. I have played around with a Claude starting to draft some things. Yes. And I was scrolling through my phone in the morning being like, did that actually send? I don't think it has sending power, but it looked like it sent, yeah. And it was nothing bad. It was right. just like yes. a response that, again, that kind of like human context at least right now, you exactly. know, AI can't.
Right.
Yes. A lot happens.
And that's exactly that, right? Like I'm a big fan. Let me put it in processes that are back, you know, sort of in the back, not necessarily client facing. And if it's client facing, then I want to have a decision person very tightly attached to that who still monitors that. So that's kind of the separation that I suggest.
Yeah. I'd love to hear your kind of experience and perspectives on, I mean, I think when thinking of scaling, mm-hmm. there's operations.
Yeah.
There's also team, you know, the team who is with you at the beginning. Yes. The team who is there that you bring on as you're growing, yes. and then the team who is going to be with you as you step into that next yeah. chapter. And I just love to hear any wisdom you have around yeah. that and how to navigate that as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I mean, I'll share one of the biggest perspectives that's sort of funny way first surfaced in the last 3 weeks. I actually literally had a call with one of my clients before I came to meet you today. And, you know, one of the things I see the biggest struggle with is literally letting go of people who are not growing into the next version of your business. Because what I'm seeing, right, as founders, we're so loyal. There's so much loyalty in the founders world. Somebody has been with you from very beginning. I'm not saying you let them go because, you know, you let them go. I'm saying sometimes it's, you know, undeniable that you will outgrow some people who've been in your business from very beginning. And they may not be the people who take you to version 3.0, 4.0, 10.0. And I see it's a very hard time for the founders where they're kind of like pushing and pulling them to come with. So you have to be very objective in evaluating your team. And it's either you are restructuring some people, right, where they may be not in the top leading role anymore, but they're loyal to you and they're still staying with you. And you're bringing someone who is next level. And then the other piece is my biggest advice to all the founders on that is outsourcing decisions and outcomes versus outsourcing tasks. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times founders will bring, you know, they fix every void by hiring, which is not always the best because just because you brought a bunch of people, but they're not responsible for any outcomes. They're still waiting for you.
Yeah.
And that's when you drown. Now you were drowning in decisions of one person. Now you're drowning in decisions of five people. So it's super, super important, again, that you put kind of guardrails in place. And I love what you said. You know, I use a very simple analogy of a stoplight. I say, is it red? That means you're always involved. Is it yellow where they can make some of the decisions, but there is a threshold where they have to get you to run through it at the end? And then green, they do it without you, right? So if you can do a simple thing like that in your business and at least outline the outcomes where you're not needed. Because, you know, founder's biggest dilemma, I want to know everything, Alenka, right, they right. say. And I'm like, do you? Do you really want to know what your yeah. VA is doing every day? Yeah. I hope not.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So those two things, I think, are biggest pieces that I like founders to focus on.
I think those are two really good pieces of wisdom there. I'm curious, what do you see as the difference between businesses and entrepreneurs who reach a certain point and then kind of plateau, and then the ones who are really able to break through that next level of kind of growth and continued scaling? Like, what's the difference yeah. there?
I would say, honestly, and everyone's probably going to say I'm biased, but I will absolutely say it's the back end. I will take the back end of any company and we'll literally dissect it for founders who are not there yet to show them how much different it looks from that Wild West approach, and the repetition, the systems, the automations is what allows them to grow. Because like you said about yourself early, and I love that you said that, that allows you clarity, right? That allows you the white space to step back as a founder and actually have ability to generate top level decisions, top level connections, top level, you know, revenue generating activities that no one else in your business can do. You can go hire 10 more VAs. Not one of them is going to be like you. And so I always say, to me, brand is amazing. Marketing is amazing, all the things. But if they're grounded in systems, that's what allows your company to get to that top level. And also allows you to not sacrifice your life, which is, as a mom to mom, right? We can absolutely appreciate that.
Absolutely. Oh, well, we could go on and on all day, and I'm sure there's going to be a part two offline of this.
But love it.
Thank you for sharing everything that you have. How can our listeners find you and your work and maybe get some of your great advice?
Yeah, thank you. Super easy. The company's called I Start First, because I do. I always start first. And then my name, Alinka Cullinan, I'm on LinkedIn and Instagram. And if they reach out to me, it's always me. It's not the bots.
I love that. I love that. Well, all of Alinka's information will be on our podcast website, thefirestarterpodcast.com. Thanks so much for tuning in with us today. You can learn more about everything that we're doing at Firestarter at firestarterfunnels.com. We would love to share an extra special bonus promotion for all of our podcast listeners. We would love for you to join our community of entrepreneurs and business owners trying to scale in the right way. You can join us at firestarterfunnels.com, and we have a special code for our podcast listeners, podcast, and you can get 50% off your first 3 months on our platform. And we would love for you to tune in for the next show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and thanks so much for being here and joining the conversation.
Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of the Firestarter Podcast. If this episode sparked something for you, I would love to stay connected. Please be sure to subscribe to the Firestarter Podcast on YouTube on my channel, Willa Kammerer. Leaving a quick review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify goes such a long way in helping this message reach more people who are ready to step into their next level brand, business, and life. Head over to willakammerer.com for show notes, resources, behind the scenes insights, and ways to work with me and my team. Also, I'd love to connect on Instagram and LinkedIn at Willa Kammerer. That's K-A-M-M-E-R-E-R. Thank you for being here, for choosing growth and the courage to build something meaningful. Until next time, keep trusting yourself, taking bold action, and living like the fire starter that you are.